WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Michael Crichton wrote the bestseller, and now Steven Spielberg has made the film. Is Jurassic Park the most eagerly awaited film of the summer? Of course. And is it worth the wait? Film critic Stephen Schiff has some answers.
High concept is what you call a movie that you can sum up in a single sentence. So what do you call a movie that you can sum up in a single word? You call it Jurassic Park. And the word, of course, is dinosaurs. Going in, you know that if the reptiles really rip, so will the movie. And in Steven Spielberg's hands, T-Rex and associates rip up a storm. This is a movie with a mess of a plot, lackluster characters, overawed acting, and a bad habit of turning preachy whenever the action lulls. But the rest is movie magic. Spielberg not only gives us a plethora of dinosaurs, almost all of them completely believable, he also gives us a scary whiff of primordial nightmare. By the end of this movie, you may find yourself thinking that many of our deepest fears, fears of monsters and aliens and whatever's under the bed, that all of that is reducible to the fear of dinosaurs, that our terror of them might even be part of the cellular structure we inherited from the forest primeval. The movie is blatantly constructed as an amusement park ride. After a confused and hectic opening, we settle in on a gaggle of characters who are invited by the mad mogul John Hammond, played by Richard Attenborough, to tour the Caribbean island where he's about to open his new amusement park. By extracting DNA out of dinosaur blood preserved in a prehistoric mosquito, Hammond and his scientists have been able to clone dinosaurs of every kind, so that we, the tourists of tomorrow, can visit them as if they were zoo animals. But the mathematician Ian Malcolm, played by Jeff Goldblum, isn't crazy about the idea.
Don't you see the danger, John, inherent in what you're doing here? Genetic power is the most awesome force the planet's ever seen, but you wield it like a kid that's found his dad's gun.
It's hardly appropriate to start hurling generalizations.
If I may, I'll tell you the problem with the scientific power that you're using here. It didn't require any discipline to attain it. You stood on the shoulders of geniuses to accomplish something as fast as you could, and before you even knew what you had, you patented it and packaged it and slapped it on a plastic lunchbox, and now you're selling it. You want to sell it. Well,
I don't think you're giving us our due credit. Our scientists have done things which nobody's ever done before.
Yeah, but your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could that they didn't stop to think if they should.
Sure enough, everything that can go wrong does go wrong. And pretty soon the dinosaurs are running wild, in the middle of the night, during a tropical storm. Their putative prey are our heroes, Goldblum, a couple of betrothed paleontologists, played by Sam Neill and Laura Dern, and Hammond's own young grandchildren, who face not only hungry thunder lizards, but runaway cars and electrified fences. The movie's more than a little reminiscent of the thrill-a-minute Indiana Jones pictures, and of Jaws, and even of Close Encounters as well. But Jurassic Park doesn't resonate the way some of those movies do. Its Frankenstein-like message about how naughty it is to fool with Mama Nature feels pretty stale. And beyond that, there's not much here but thrills. The thrills, though, are the real thing. The way Spielberg stages the approach of a Tyrannosaurus Rex, for instance, or the scene in which two wily velociraptors chase the children in an enormous industrial kitchen. This is Spielberg's best work since the beginning of Empire of the Sun back in 1987. But I know your next question. Will Jurassic Park give small children nightmares? The answer is yes, almost certainly. And maybe you, too.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker.